standing on a corner in a white Godfather hat. He drives a long black gangster Cadillac. He can steal a broad's mind, man, in 3 or 4 minutes. It's not how long you talk, bro, it's what you put in it.
Look out!
Good evening, everyone. It is the Tuesday Club. It is the Day Trippers, brought to you by Redsbet. Here in the aftermath of Liverpool's final pre-season friendly against Torino, 3-1 win. Plenty of positives to take out of it, despite my own reservations about playing a game. So the West Ham game on Sunday. Tonight we've got Gav, late substitution for Phil. How are you going, Gav?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Not bad. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. We've got Jamie making up the other half of the duo. How are you doing, Jamie?
I'm good, thanks, mate.
Good, good. And we've got Andy Young in his sparkling new gaff by of the reflections in that window behind you. How are you doing, Andy?
Yeah, good, good.
Good, good. Right, so we'll crack on with a review of tonight's game first off. A pretty handy 3-1 win. Never looked in any danger. Never looked like any other result than a Liverpool win. So we'll start from the beginning, lads. How did you feel, Jim, about that start in 11? Personally, I thought it wasn't anywhere, probably about 70% of the starters there for Sunday, but it wasn't an exact start in 11, was it, compared to what we're going to expect on Sunday, would you say?
No, probably not, mate. I think Klopp's got a good idea of who that 11 will be, and it's just a case of making sure that the squad across the board have all got the minutes needed to get them up to the level that's going to be required to play his playing style. I think it's been interesting to see which players have been getting 45 minutes and a little bit more. He's clearly managing specific players' minutes. For me, you know, I don't tend to read too much into starting 11s. As I said, it's purely a fitness exercise and to get players to take on tactical and take on the manager's tactical ideas. Standouts for me in the first half, we'll probably go into it in a little bit more detail, but Naby Keita, I think in the middle, tends to pick up so many dangerous offensive positions. He's really elusive in the middle. One minute he's dropping deep to receive the ball. Next minute he's wide left, he's wide right. He's going to be such a dangerous player for us, particularly against the teams, I suppose, that like to sit off and give him a little bit of space. He can pick it up from deep and really drive at people. So he was one of the main standouts. And it's great to see Phillips getting a game at the back. I've been really impressed with him in pre-season, and I suppose a big occasion at Anfield in front of a relatively big crowd. You know, you'd forgive the lad for looking a little bit shaky, but I thought he looked composed throughout. So lots of green shoots for me.
Yeah. And Andy, talking about players from midfield getting forward, I thought Wijnaldum in that first half was looking particularly sharp. What were your thoughts on him, and do you think he has sort of staked his claim for a start at the weekend?
Yeah, why not? First of all, it was good to see all the locals got their tickets tonight. And the Day Trippers didn't rob them. Wijnaldum getting forward, it was the kind of Wijnaldum we've probably seen at Newcastle, where getting beyond the kind of front three, and at Newcastle just getting up top further than anyone else. We don't really see that. Wijnaldum for Liverpool too often. He's more of a kind of grinding out in the midfield than just an engine. So he's very threatening once he gets into this position. So yeah, it's a good thing to see, because the midfield is going to be extremely competitive this year, particularly if everyone stays fit. So there's going to need to be an extra little dimension from Wijnaldum's game, I suppose, for him to stay in contention for, you know, a player who was. You know, in the midfield most of last season. So,
yeah. And Gav, just in terms of the first goal, obviously Firmino scores that one. You know, he seems to have got enough minutes under his belt to start the game on Sunday. Would you agree with that, that he will start ahead of, say, someone like Sturridge?
Yeah, I think he will. I thought he looked fairly good against Napoli in Dublin on Saturday. Tonight, I think he played a little bit within himself, but I think Salah did as well. I think out of front three, I think Mane was a standout in the first half. He seemed to be putting the most in. But yeah, I think them front three start, especially if he's going to play him in Dublin and he's going to play him there tonight at Anfield. I don't see how he doesn't, you know, play him not on Sunday. You know, not giving him 2:45s and then not playing him would be a little bit strange.
I'd expect him to probably get a 60 minutes. I think, you know, 60, 70 minutes, hopefully get the job done. I mean, the way that he facilitates the other two lads, you know, when he plays, occupies centre backs, creates space for the two wide men. I think that was one of the things that, you know, really stood out for me watching it in person in Dublin was the runs that Mane and Salah make. They make these perfectly timed diagonal runs. Firmino drops deep, wins the ball, and then they know it's nearly like a trigger. They make the diagonal runs, and they're all looking for each other. So even if you get a good 60 minutes out of Firmino, you know, against West Ham, you'd be confident with the form that the other two are in that we'd be able to hopefully get one or two goals and hopefully put the tie to bed.
Yeah, I mean the second goal for Wijnaldum then is obviously a through ball from Firmino. It actually starts all the way from the back from Alisson. What were your thoughts in terms of Alisson tonight? He didn't have an awful lot to do, Jamie, but what he did do, even including a save when the player was offside, early doors, he just seems to command a presence that we've not had for a while.
Yeah, I think he brings that type of assurance that Van Dijk brings in, that even if he makes an error, you know that it's brushed off and he has complete confidence that he's not going to make the same error again. As you said, he didn't have a great deal to do, but what he did well. Again, for me, the thing that really strikes me is it's like having an extra footballer on the pitch with his distribution. So many times now we're going to have compact, teams looking to be compact and leave no spaces. And you've seen it with the Phillips pass, I think it was, into Firmino. If we have players that can bypass maybe one or two lines of a defensive shield from the other team, you're automatically on the front foot. And I think Alisson's distribution, he can clip it over deep midfields. He can clip it over fullbacks' heads and get us onto the turn and really start attacks quickly. Kind of like, if you remember back to Pepe Reina, I think he always used to look to get Dirk Kuyt free on the right with the clip balls. I think having Alisson there to do something similar would be huge for us.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, the main negative, there was two negatives in the first half. We'll come on to the missed penalty. The Belotti goal, Moreno's got to do much better there, hasn't he, Gav?
It comes from us misplacing the pass, and throughout the first half you're seeing that kind of long, not diagonal, but that kind of long ball in behind us. We looked a bit open, in my opinion. The young lad Phillips does well to slow him up, but in fairness, the Torino right back has a great touch on the right hand side to get the ball under control. Moreno, he kind of is not going for it to close him down, then he is going to close him down, then he doesn't get close enough. But I think Phillips as well. Phillips takes a look behind him and sees the lad there and then turns away from him and doesn't react. I think if he takes a step, probably one or two steps towards his own goal, he may deal with it. But yeah, Moreno has this thing of putting his hands behind his back and either going for it or standing off. You know, it's just one of those things with him. What can you do?
The most disappointing thing about that for me was normally a goal like that comes when you get it centre forward free for a header like that. Like it's happened so fast, but they had plenty of time to get set. Moreno had plenty of time to get way closer than he got. No matter how quick or how slow a wide man is, he's still going to get the ball out of his feet if you stand 4 or 5, 6 yards off him with your hands behind your back. So pretty bad defending by Moreno there. He has to get tighter. He has to commit himself more. And it's not like Moreno not to commit himself into a tackle.
I mean, I suppose the main upside of that is that he's by nowhere near our first choice left back. Thankfully, we've got a much better player who's going to be starting 90% of our games next season, hopefully. So the other, I suppose, negative work in that first half was the missed penalty. Let's start with the penalty. It's a bit of a strange one, really. I don't think you're ever going to get a penalty like that in a game. It just, like, it was, You know, and I think Mane was, you know, smiling when the penalty was given. He was kind of a bit incredulous. Was your thought on it, Andy?
Yeah, it's for a ref to give a penalty like that in a real game, like, be fairly ballsy. I think it's very rare you see a penalty given if a player stays on his feet and gets himself into, you know, a shooting chance. So yeah, you're right. You're never going to get that in a Premier League game, and I suppose for me, when you're not used to seeing penalties given like that, I wouldn't really thought it was a penalty, although he did catch him. Fair play to Mane, the way he's out to find his feet again, and the balance to get the shot away, it was class.
So I guess the thing that leaves me scratching my head though is Mane seems to have been on pens at various stages through pre-season. We've now got Fabinho taking a penalty. I know he had a pretty impressive record leading into that. I think he'd scored 16 in a row. So, Jamie, what's going on with a penalty?
Yeah, we don't seem to be able to settle on who's taking them at the moment. It's not a bad thing, though, to have lots of lads that fancy themselves. It's a bad thing to have loads of lads that keep missing, though. So, yeah. Now, to be fair, he's a new lad trying to settle. It didn't surprise me, you know, with his track record, that it would have been a perfect start to his Liverpool career. I think with Fabinho, you've seen him flashes. You know, the strength and the dominance that he's going to be able to bring in that type of area. He just looks a little bit short of match fitness and a little bit of, you know, little bit of pace in there. Just a little bit leggy. You know, it's probably been a tough training camp for him. He's had back-to-back games. Just the speed at which he's doing things, he just looks a little bit laboured. And I think we got caught out a little bit, probably not to be too negative, in Dublin a few times. They drove through the centre of our team a little bit too easy, and I think it happened once or twice tonight, and we nearly seem a little bit exposed to diagonal balls at the moment. It happened in Dublin. You know, if teams that we play against are able to beat our press, you know, they can quickly break and hit a diagonal ball. So I don't think it's anything to worry about. I think once the new lads in the middle settle into Klopp's way of playing, we'll shore it up. You know, but just something, I suppose, to be mindful of going forward. Just try and stop those quick breaks.
It was a nice strike left of that post, though, wasn't it?
You know, it's a crisp, yeah.
Yeah, you hit it well. Like, if you meant that was good.
he was trying to give the ball to one of the kids, you know, on the front row, just so we didn't have to do it at the end of the game.
Yeah, they probably knew it wasn't a penalty, and
he'd
done the right thing by just, you know, smashing it.
Stealing it past the post.
Yeah, he couldn't have got it any tighter to the post on the left-hand side, so fair play to him.
That said, though, lads, we couldn't buy a penalty last season, so...
I'm wondering, is it a new thing that referees are being told? If there's a foul and the player doesn't go down, but it's still a foul, you have to give it. Is it some sort of, like, direction the referees have been given? You know the way you need to, at the start of the season, there's always two or three kind of penalties that are added on to it, or referees have to do. And I'm wondering if it's one of these where, you know, you've seen it last season, not only Liverpool, but loads of different teams where if he'd have went down, he gets that penalty. You know the kind of way?
Yeah, if you're going to encourage players to stay up, there has to be a bit of an incentive, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Up to better the game.
If they're told now, listen, if he goes in and he is fouled, but he tries to stay up and he doesn't score, so he doesn't get that advantage, it's a penalty. I'm wondering if it's something, a directive that the referees are being given for this season. You might see it coming out, you know, club in the next couple of days, because that might be a talking point now, you know, across social media about that penalty and how it was given. You might see something coming over in the next couple of days about a directive referees are being given, because you hear it time and time again. If he goes down, he gets the penalty.
I nearly remember there was one years ago, Gav, I think it was Steven Gerrard playing against Sheffield United, I think, at the start of the season, where he's tried to step over the defender. There was no contact whatsoever. He tried to stay on his feet, couldn't, went down, got a pen. It was kind of similar to that. I mean, if there's no contact, it's very difficult to give a pen. It was a soft one, but long may that continue onto the season.
Yeah, I think, look, if that's the standard now we're holding ourselves to give pens, there's going to be an awful lot of pens, you know, early
penalty
season.
Penalty pool are back.
Well, yeah, let's hope so. But then on the flip side, knowing our luck, it'll be the way around. But anyway, look.
Lovren will be all over this, won't he?
So look, we move on to the second half. And the second half, like for me, it was almost like going from, in some respects, like going from a Premier League game to go into a League Cup game. You know, there were seven substitutions. Obviously, then later on, I mean, I think in total there was 12 substitutions. I think Curtis Jones, who come on as a sub, ends up getting at the end a minute or two after a pretty horrific looking challenge, which he just about got away with. But look, there was, you know, it was minutes under belts for players. Obviously, Henderson comes on with 20 minutes to go. And look, he puts a lovely ball in there for Shaqiri, who in turn puts it on a plate, really, for Sturridge to get the third goal. And Sturridge had missed a couple of chances prior to that. So, Andy, I mean, apart from maybe nearly falling asleep at times in that second half, was that a pretty bright spot on what was otherwise pretty mundane?
Yeah, I was drifting away myself in that second half, and you see so many subs being made, and I think, you know, without being overly negative, it just sort of highlights the fact that we have got a really, really strong 11, 12, 13, maybe. And then after that, if we picked up a good few injuries, you are down to a few of these players that they don't really light it up as much as the others. So that's not very inspiring. But then again, you got to hope that your team stays fit and we have the core of them for the whole season, the more important players. So that's what we kind of got to see for that. And it wasn't until really the bit of magic from Shaqiri, which made the second half, which was worth staying watching, that we got a bit excited again. So, you know, it was cool to see Sturridge getting on the end of a goal again.
Yeah. I mean, from my point of view, it highlights a bit how much the first 11, 12 have really sort of put a distance between themselves and the rest of the squad. Is that kind of the way you see it going, Jamie? We've almost got a sort of this top level elite 12, 13 players, and then there is still that significant drop off behind that?
Not really, mate. No, I actually hold a different view, to be honest. Okay. I think in Dublin, the team that came on in the second half were by far better than the first half, particularly creatively. And I think we saw, you know, I think we saw the same again tonight from two players in particular. You mentioned it, Shaqiri and Sturridge. I think that highlights something that we didn't have last season, which is people that can change games from the bench, whether that's bits of individual brilliance. We were crying out for that last season. You know, we got to the biggest stage of all, and we had to turn to the likes of Solanke, which, you know, it was the stage was a bit too big for him. Whereas if we're looking to the bench now and saying, okay, we're going to bring on Shaqiri for the last 20, 25 minutes, we're going to bring on Sturridge, we're going to look at a system change where we go two up top. We've got so many options now. And it's genuine quality. And I think you can see with Shaqiri, and it's the same with Sturridge, these sort of elite creative footballers operate on a different level. If you actually look at the way that Sturridge held his run, waiting for Shaqiri, he kind of indicated where he wanted it played. And it's nearly telepathic. He used to see it with Coutinho and Sturridge. They know where the striker wants the ball to be played. The striker knows where he's going to put it. And it just happens like magic. It was a fantastic ball in. And a fantastic finish. And to be able to bring that type of firepower off the bench is something that I think we've lacked for a while now.
Yeah, but Jamie, my point is, like, granted, when I did say kind of 12, 13 players, yeah, you're only talking about the likes of Shaqiri and Sturridge, but you kind of look at our second string. You know, if we had a long-term injury to Robertson, if we had a long-term injury to a centre-back, if we had a long-term injury to one of our front three, you know, we could potentially struggle. We could be looking at having a player like dependent on Sturridge, who obviously picks up a lot of injuries, dependent on Lallana, who's going to pick up injuries, who hasn't played football much in a couple of years. I just hope that we're not going to be left a little bit too short in terms of not just the rotation, because you can swap one or two players around, but in terms of having a long-term injury to an important player, I just feel that could hurt us.
I think that's fair, mate. I think the two areas that you've highlighted there, that, you know, if we were to say ideal window, you know, it's been a fucking brilliant one so far. But I think there is areas, you know, centre-back, you know, I think we need one extra body and centre midfield. But I still think, you know, if you look across the team, you said it before, and, you know, Gini Wijnaldum tonight, from an attacking perspective, was absolutely superb, I thought. And if you look at his days at Feyenoord, it was actually a position that he thrived in. I think he scored a shedload of goals over there. So potentially, you know, if we don't get in that Fekir-esque type attacker, you could be asking the likes of a Gini Wijnaldum to play a more advanced role. Because, you know, opinions aside, let's say you're looking at a Henderson, Keita, Fabinho 3, right? Obviously, that could change based on people's opinions. You've still got, you know, two or three quality lads that can come in there and make an impact on the team, which we didn't quite have last year. I just think, given the Chamberlain injury, it's probably left us a little bit short. So we probably look to bring in one more there.
Yeah, I thought when we signed Wijnaldum, we were signing an attacking player. I genuinely believed that that's what we were getting, was an attacking player that could play in a kind of advanced role. I was quite surprised when I seen how industrious he can be in the midfield, you know. But it's definitely an element of this game, as I was saying earlier on, that he might need to improve on or need to come up and show the season to kind of remain in Klopp's, not planned, obviously in Klopp's long-term plans, but to be in consideration of starting games.
Yeah. The last thing, just I guess I wanted to expand on, was Henderson. Obviously, he got 20 minutes tonight. There's four games before the international break, so, you know, I'd imagine Klopp has a bit of a plan to manage him back in, you know, at a pace that suits what he's had to go through at the World Cup. But post that, is Henderson in the first 11 for you?
For me, all things being equal, if he was fit and ready to go now with the rest of them, would he be in my 11 on Sunday, without a doubt? I'm a bit torn on Fabinho, I'm going to be honest. I don't know whether it's the player, because it looks like to me like they're trying to play him into it, you know, optimum fitness, because he seems to be the one midfielder that's getting most time on the pitch.
He got a lot of minutes tonight, didn't he?
I don't know whether it's the player, because to me he looks excellent on the ball. He gets out of tight areas quite well. You know, he's good on it. He's a good range of passing. He gets us going. He gets the ball out to the fullbacks. Off the ball, he looks half a yard off for me. But I don't know whether that's a system thing, because to me, air three midfield, I was saying to Jamie before we come on, air three midfield usually would look quite compact as a tree, quite narrow, and they try funnel the opposition out wide, and we're quite comfortable with that. Tonight, you're looking at Fabinho, and he's in the middle of the park, and Keita, for me, and Wijnaldum look miles away from him. We look like an idiot, you know, a flat
big,
tree.
There is like big gaps, mate. Yeah,
it's a
right.
Really wide tree. So Torino, we're able to kind of get that ball in gaps and look to get at us, and, you know, especially the young lad Phillips, who's done all right. But
it was only really Fabinho that held his ass. Am I getting feedback there?
Yeah, we all are.
That working?
Has anyone got volume up on anything? No, you're okay. Keep going.
Go on, Andy.
No, it was only really Fabinho who did kind of hold a position throughout the game. I find Keita does a lot of move, and he crops up everywhere. So if you're going to have a midfielder who's cropping up everywhere, you're going to have gaps when he loses the ball. So I think it's more of a systematic thing rather than be kind of nailing Fabinho for it. Yeah. I think Fabinho's been pretty good throughout pre-season, getting a little bit of stick for some reason.
That's why I give him the benefit of the doubt, Andy. It could be a system thing, you know, He's made to look a bit more exposed. Like as you say, if Kate is popping up everywhere, it could be an idea to go into a midfield with, say, a Fabinho and a Henderson, who knows that responsibility a bit more, and allows Kate to pop up where he likes. It just gives him a bit more protection.
Look, I just think that Fabinho is exactly the type of player we've been crying out for in midfield. Emre never really got to specialise in a position. We are always doubting and wondering what he could do. But Fabinho absolutely is the type of player we need, that sort of sits, you know, in front of the back four and can do it all. Like, you know,
It was interesting for me, Anne, to see how deep he likes to go and split the centre backs. Like I'd agree with Andy, and just to touch on your point, Gav, I think it's a mix. I think system wise, I mean, you've seen it with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, how long it took him to adapt to a Klopp way of playing. It's very, very different playing for this Liverpool team. So, you know, I'd be looking to give him at least 5 or 6 league games before we can start making a real judgment. But it's the little things that he does. You know, when he's getting hounded or pressed, he's so cool under pressure. It's the little nicks around the corner. He's got a lot of game smarts, but it's just getting used to the system. And he just looks a bit leggy. He just doesn't look fit enough for this Klopp team. And I think Andy touched on it there. Chiesa's all over the shop, as in his movements. He's drifting left. He's drifting right. Ginny was obviously under instruction to try and break lines and get forward. He did it fantastically well. But what that means is that Keita is basically isolated on his own. Fabinho is isolated, yeah, on his own. And if you're not up to the fitness level of a Henderson, who made it look easy at times because he is a Duracell bunny, he's just going to look a little bit leggy. But I'd be confident, you know, giving him a run of 3, 4, 5 games together, they'll soon shore that up. It's just a rhythm thing at the moment, I think, for him.
I think it's going to be important, isn't it, for people not to get too hypercritical if there are situations where we can see goals and he's sort of involved in it in a fairly direct way, because he's going to have to come to grips with the pace of the Premier League, isn't he, at the end of the day? And I think it's important that as a fan base we don't go overboard on the likes of social media, because we do like
Liverpool fans go overboard on social media.
So you're going to say something there, Andy, on that?
Yeah, team? I just think throughout pre-season, we haven't had a Premier League test. Like, obviously, we played United and we played City, but we haven't had, you know, you're 90% of the season type of game where teams just, like, lock in. I think when we have that, Fabinho's going to look a better player, because teams will break forward. They won't break forward in numbers, and he should be able to mop up. I think we'll see in 90% of the games, I think we'll see where Fabinho's really a class act. And then when we go toe-to-toe with teams, we always tend to be a bit more organised anyway, you know, shape-wise. I thought against Napoli early on, Napoli were playing a lot of football, like, you know, Liverpool were really, really impressive shape-wise, you know, way more organised than we used to. Like, I kind of thought they'd shown a little bit of extra maturity and maybe gone up as a level in terms of shape and organisation. The communication out there was excellent. So we're kind of, yeah, it'll take about 10 games to really see where this Liverpool team can go.
Yeah. And I guess just to wrap up, lads, the pre-season, it's obviously been a fairly successful pre-season, certainly on the injury front. Yeah, there's been a few niggles, but nothing significant. Just in terms of how the club of, I guess, from a PR perspective, they were in town on Saturday in Dublin, and I know you, Jamie, went along with your just a bit about that from you, about the experience and how Liverpool have sort of embraced this embracing, you know, giving away the scarves and the balls and whatnot. I mean, how have you found it from that, on that level?
I'm probably the wrong person to ask, because I had a bit of a mixed bag. I was texting Andy about it the other day. So my son he asked me at 6 o'clock in the morning. He's like, Dad, where would the Liverpool players be now? I was like, oh, they'll be coming over to Dublin in a bit. And he's like, can we go and find them? So I was like, right, okay. So I found out the hotel they were staying, and we went down there autograph hunting. And we stood at the front outside the hotel for a good 3.5 hours. And unfortunately, it looked, when the players came out, that they were under instruction to not sign autographs. Now, okay, I'll be honest, I was pretty pissed off at that. But my son got away from Jurgen Klopp, so he went away absolutely delighted. That was a little bit tough to take. But then I have to say, you know, in the polar opposite to that, in the stadium after the game, Mo Salah was in the stand for 30 minutes after the game, signing every single piece of paper, every shirt, getting every selfie, right round the ground. The players are really embracing the locals. That was fantastic to see. It was just unfortunate that I didn't manage to get the Mo Salah selfie that we went on the hunt for.
You were craving, yeah.
I was craving, mate. Yeah, that would have done some numbers on social media if I'd have posted it.
I think you got them at the wrong time, Jamie. Apparently, when they arrived at the hotel, they were excellent. They were signing football jerseys. Obviously, the numbers were a bit lower then as well. They did get around without too much of a fuss.
Yeah.
But when the players leave, the hotel, I know it was only a friendly, but Klopp was going to have them in the routine now, like, you know,
in the zone.
As soon as they walk out of the hotel and onto the bus, they're in the game. Well, they should be,
mm-hmm.
and they should be thinking about the game, thinking about nothing else, focus on everything, relaxing. So
you should be ignoring Jamie and his autograph.
Yeah, like, I'm using my kids to get autographs.
I can't think of any other reason why the players would have their heads down. It's just pure, if you look up, you're going to be distracted. You can't, you know, a little bit of embarrassment then as well. Klopp looked up, the crowd gave a smile and a couple of waves, which tells me that only the manager was kind of in a position to do that. It's been excellent. The whole footballs into the crowd thing and the scarves and all that. But the own bit, cheapskates there with the footballs. I was having a look at the footballs they were kicking in there tonight. They were the shitty no make ones from the club shop, like, she was just a crest.
Rid of them, did they, last season's ball?
Yeah, you have to be smashing in the good balls, like, you know what I mean?
money, don't they?
Yeah, you know, if you came away from the ground with a match ball, you'd be fucking in your element. But then it was one of those shitty fall apart letters, you know, you wouldn't be too happy. just my thoughts. Yeah. And you know, like, instead of poxy scars, like, they could have gave away the jerseys.
Yeah.
God, you want a lot there, don't you, Andy?
I just start throwing season tickets into the crowd.
Right, so let's move.
That'd send Twitter over the edge, wouldn't it?
Half and half,
Red Sox.
Yeah.
Be more than.
Look, let's move it on. We've got it's Tuesday this time in 2 days. The deadline will have.
Yeah, 5 p.m. on Thursday.
Yeah, 5 p.m. Thursday. Now, Gav, you know, you've been known to host the odds Word three podcasts throughout the summer. You've got the direct line into Grizz, the bat phone, so to speak. what's your opinion on whether we sign anyone else before Thursday?
Honestly, I don't think we sign anyone.
Okay.
What would I like? I'd like one, if not two. I'd like Fekir. I'd like them still. I'd still like to think they could get it done if they wanted it, and I'd like a centre half. I don't see them, although that's being honest with you.
What centre half would you go for, Gav?
Well, the rumour around has been that lad Tarkowski off Burnley. I don't know if he suits us. You see, I just have a major hang up on
Lovren.
Matip. No, Lovren, I'm fine.
Okay.
You see, the team with Lovren is people just keep remembering the bad games he's had. But if you actually take a sample size of, you know, his progression, say with Van Dijk, you know, it's an improvement on the team. And look at his progression with him, I think he's been excellent. I think he was our best player in the Champions League final. Him and Mane together. Matip, I have a major, major issue with. And Gomez, I'm still not sure about at centre half. So I think a centre half if we could get one. And I think Fekir could genuinely be the difference between us challenging for the title and going and winning it. I genuinely believe that.
I agree with you, Gav. And I'd hate to see an opportunity like this missed. I think the situation at Chelsea, United, Arsenal, all very transitional stuff, all and toxic at Man United. I think there's only two teams that have kind of 90-point seasons in them, and Liverpool are obviously, you know, hopeful and wishful of it. City are almost guaranteed another 90-point season, 100 points last year. But if they can just fall away a small bit and we can improve a little bit, we could tip them, and I'd hate to think we're only one player away from doing it. I think Fekir could happen because it's all in place. Like, he's, you know, he's had a medical, they've had fees agreed, they've had interviews, they've had pictures taken. It's one of those things that just could take a phone call or could take a little meeting, and then it's happening. Whereas, like, I think it's a bit late in the day to do anything else, unless it's a kind of a, you know, a little bit of a squad signing. But I just don't see a centre half signing at this stage. You know, it's a bit late in the day. But feck here, why not? I mean, it'd be fucking great.
Jamie?
Out of the two positions that the lads say, I think centre back is more of a priority personally. And I just think, you know, you're one injury away, as Gav said there. I think Joe Gomez could be a great centre back. I don't think he is at the moment. He's a little bit rash for me at centre back, so I don't think over a long period of time you can rely on him. Matip is made of crisps, so you can't rely on him either. So I'd like to bring somebody in. It's a, you know, I hate the term Premier League proven, but somebody who has been through the rigors of a Premier League season, who, you know, can stand up to the physical challenge, who isn't necessarily going to be pissed off at not being first choice, because I think we just got to get used to the fact that Klopp likes Lovren, and I think there's, you know, a strong partnership there in the makings with him and VVD. So somebody that's going to come in and challenge Lovren to play alongside Van Dijk, but not necessarily going to rip up trees if he's not in the first 11 right away. For me, in terms of an attacking midfielder, I do think we need one. Fekir, you know, if we get him, great. If not, I'd be more inclined to say somebody with blistering pace would be, you know, if Mane or Salah drops out, you know, where's that sort of pacey outlet going to come from? We've got creative players like a Sturridge, like a Shaqiri, who can pick up pockets and create, or, you know, ping one in from 30 yards. I just think we'd miss that out-and-out pace. I'd love Dembele from Barcelona, that type of player who's got one thought in his mind. It's, let's open my legs and break at pace. That would be an ideal window for me. You know, I haven't seen enough of Fekir to sit here and say that he'll be our saviour, but anybody that can add those type of numbers from midfield would be brilliant.
Waving his phone, nice phone, Gav.
I'm just checking
something. Well, so, look, is it dick pics, Gav? You after some dick pics there, mate?
No, fucking Neil sends me them on the hour, every hour. It's okay.
So, look, just to touch while we're still on transfers, any, like, what's your thoughts on our rivals business? You know, a lot of our rivals have done little to no business. You know, Chelsea looking at signing a goalkeeper today and paying 72 million. Is that a kind of a desperate kind of scenario they've found themselves in with Courtois? I mean, what's your thoughts, Gav, on what the likes of Chelsea, Spurs, United are and aren't doing?
Well, you see, I think we can be very biased over this. You know, when we signed Alisson at 66 odd million, you know, you had other fans saying, oh, you know, you're overspending and stuff like that. And we said, no, it's a position we need to strengthen in, and that's who Klopp wanted, and that's why we've done it. That could be what Chelsea are doing. They can see the problem with Courtois. There's a Sarri that's in charge. He could have looked at this lad. Is he off Bilbao?
He is, yeah.
I couldn't remember whether it was Bilbao or another side, but he could be looking at that and saying, that's what I want, and that's what they're being asked for, and Chelsea are backing them. It could be the exact same situation as we had. There's a lot of points scoring over transfers, especially on social media between different fans. You know, one team signs one and it's panic, and someone says no, it's what they need. With regards to the other team, you know, Spurs have done nothing, but they've kept their squad together, and it's a good squad. Yeah. But I always think they hover between, say, 76 and say 82 points. I don't think that's enough to win you a league. United is just the strangest fucking thing of all time. Mourinho just continuously looks to cause rifts all over the place, and it looks to me like he may have wanted one or two and they haven't gone and got them, and he's not one bit impressed. Arsenal have made a few signings. Did he do anything for me? No. I think Aubameyang's the biggest signing, and that was in January. I still think that's the best signing. Who else? City's got Mahrez, but City are outstanding. You know, if City play at 90% of what they've done last year, 85% of what they've done last year, they'd probably win the league. So, nothing kind of worries me. I'd still expect things to go a little bit mental tomorrow and early towards the league, if I'm being honest, because they all have plenty of money to spend and they haven't seemed to have done it yet. And it's going to get very messy, because once the ninth goes, you know, then there's you can only sell, can't you? You know, that's where the likes of this Pogba rumour comes up, that Barcelona are fucking more or less tapping them up. It could just, Pogba could just turn around and say, I'm not playing. And you can say what you want about contracts. You can just turn around and say, I'm not playing. Focus. And what are they going to do? Player just gets to leave. So they're in a very precarious position, and leaving to this league, it will look like panic because the money's just going to go up and up and up with the hour.
Yeah. And no, look, no one's experienced this scenario, have they, where they have to get all the business concluded before, you know, a ball is kicked in the Premier League. So I think you're right, Gav. I think, you know, Sky Sports are going to have the big day. It's going to happen. Jim White is going to be the main man yet again. And look,
I'd say have a toy around his fucking head. Never mind. Fucking
so look, it's going to be.
Isn't it?
What?
The 5 p.m. Yeah, I know. We don't like we don't even get to come home from work, most of us, you know, sort of watch the drama play out. It's
proper close of business stuff, isn't it? And if your fax machine goes, at least it's in working hours. You're not scrambling around for a technician.
No, it's yeah.
I was listening to there was a just someone retweeted on my timeline there last night. It was a United fan that does a little bit of a kind of a podcast on his own. not the spacer, but no, I felt like Phil something Brett, I don't know anyway. But he was talking about some ITK shit, and apparently there's a major rift in between Jose and the board, and he's about to explode. So I think it's gonna be comedy hour at Man United over the next few weeks, and I just can't believe that this period of hilarious United is gone on so long now. Like when you look at from Moyes to Mourinho now, like 4 or 5 years on, it's fucking great. Like, and long may it continue.
Yeah, no, you're right, Andy. It's look, there's no time for people to rectify situations. And look, we'll move on to the West Ham game, yeah, because there's a good few of us going over on Sunday. I'm actually going over on Saturday. I expect a few late fitness tests on Sunday to actually make it to Anfield for 1:30.
Or paying Neil Gray's bail money.
I don't think anyone will be stumped up the cash for that.
We're all down the credit union on Friday afternoon getting a joint loan for that.
So look, it's been, you know, it's been eagerly anticipated. So I guess from my point of view, I'm keen straight off the bat to see whether, from your point of view, whether we're just going to blitzkrieg this game or West Ham are going to actually provide a pretty stern test for us on Sunday. There's a few questions coming through on the chat. Kev O'Sullivan asking, has anyone seen West Ham pre-season? Anyone think they're going to give us any problems on Sunday, Andy?
The two big spenders coming head to head on the first day of the season. It's going to be interesting, you know, because they've bought so many players. You wonder who's going to play, who's going to start. Like, it'd be interesting to see how long it takes them all to gel. So, I fully expect us to win the game, but concede maybe 2 goals. But then, who knows? We've got a great goalkeeper now. But for me, they'll probably score, but I think it's a good game to start off with West Ham at home.
And Gav, I've been maintaining for about the last couple of weeks that we're gonna score a minimum 5 at the weekend. I wouldn't disagree with Andy's prediction of us conceding a couple. Did you see a lot of goals, or do you think it'd be tighter than that?
No, I think there'll be goals in the game. I think it's very rare you'll see. I'm trying to think back of Liverpool West Ham games where there's been, you know, 1 or 2 goals. It's usually a decent amount of goals. Andy's right. They've signed a lot of players. You know, Philippe Anderson from Lazio. They've brought in probably 6 or 7. I think the fourth day of the season, you never know, do you? Like,
no,
you never know, because one, it's the start of the season, and everyone's not fully in the groove. Like, no matter how much they put into pre-season, they're not fully at it. And the pace of the Premier League is a completely different thing to what you've seen tonight or in Dublin or across America or anything like that. And as well as that, West Ham could come out and all these boys could be well up for it. And then West Ham could come out and they could be all over the fucking place and we could absolutely dismantle them. I'd go for the... I'd go for the latter. I think we'll score. I think we'll score a good few goals because a lot of these lads they've signed just haven't played in the Premier League, and it's a complete shock to the best of players, to the most experienced players. I'd like to see us go out, and like you said, I'd like to see us go for their throat from the absolute off. And I think if you get 1-0 up against them, especially a side managed by this guy, because he seems to have one way of playing and he doesn't like the change. We've seen it with City a couple of times when he was manager there. I'd like to see us bombard him from the very start. Do you want the prediction, or will we leave that for the end?
We'll leave that for a few more minutes, yeah?
No problem, yeah.
And Jamie, just on the starting 11 at the weekends, I think the back four, yeah, there might be a question mark who plays centre-back alongside Van Dijk. The front three will pick themselves, I think. What's your prediction in terms of who's playing in midfield on Sunday?
It's a tough one because I thought I had it completely sussed out. And then with every game, Shaqiri just impresses me more and more. It's hard to look at a team and not find a place for him. I think Wijnaldum's done himself no harm tonight with the runs from deep. I thought he was excellent. I think very much it depends on Milner's head injury. I think Klopp very much sees him as one of his lieutenants out on the pitch. You know, whether it's Milner or Henderson, what Klopp always seems to like to have one of them in the engine room. So I think it depends on fitness for him. I mean, for me, who plays? It doesn't really bother me that much at the moment because I just think we seem to be a club that's surrounded with so much positivity. And one thing that's really stood out for me over pre-season is just how clinical we are. We go through phases in games where we're not necessarily playing great, yet we get a half chance and we've scored. You know, we've seen it against Napoli. We didn't start particularly well, but we're 2-0 up after 10 minutes. We've seen it tonight. It's an early goal. I just think teams aren't going to be ready for the type of runs and form that Mane and Salah seem to be in at the moment. So whoever plays in midfield, as long as we've got the red arrows up front, I'll be confident of getting one or two goals early doors. And now with the likes of VVD and Alisson, you'd be confident that, you know, we're not going to have those lapses in concentration in the back that make these home games a little bit sticky when there's no need for them to be. So, I'm confident either way, mate, whoever plays.
Yeah, and you, it's been touched on tonight about some sort of worrying gaps, I guess, at the back. Do you think we concede a couple of goals?
To be honest, it has worried me a little bit how susceptible. Joe Gomez seemed to knock off a little bit concentration-wise in Dublin. Be interesting to see whether he starts alongside, Van Dijk. Let's not forget, the lads have got a little bit more time on the training field, and I think West Ham will be a completely different proposition. I don't think for one second they're going to be coming and looking to attack us, because that's what we want. We want teams to come on to us. We want to try and win the ball back high and press them. So I don't think it's going to be a case that they'll be looking to attack us, potentially look to score on the break. You know, I'd be confident enough of us, keeping a shutout now with a more settled back four and a goalkeeper who believes in himself. I think we're a totally different beast.
Okay, so look, I've seen a prediction from Mick 4-1. What's your prediction for the first game, Jamie?
2-0 to Liverpool.
2-0 Liverpool, Gav.
Oh, Jesus. 5-1
Gav.
Yeah. Andy? I think we score early. I think we pull these apart.
Danny Ings to score a couple, Gav, yeah?
Yeah, that'll get us into Champions League for next season.
And Andy?
6-1 for Liverpool.
Yes, Andy.
Right, for what it's
worth. I think it's possible. Obviously, I said we concede one or two anyway. So we run right and we score 6 goals and hopefully keep it to a minimum there on the other end. 6-1.
6-1. A 3-1 from Kev O'Sullivan, giving us his prediction. I'm going to go with 5-2. I've maintained 5 for the last couple of weeks and I'm not going to back down from that now. Gav asked Andy to name the 6 goal scorers. So go on, fire away.
I love asking this.
Shaqiri. gets the last one. Salah gets two. Firmino gets...
Fantasy captain.
Huh? Yeah.
Fantasy captain.
Absolutely. Firmino gets two. And what's that leave? One?
That is one
to go.
Keita.
Keita. With a with a home debut.
Yeah. A big smasher from about 35 yards in off the crossbar.
You see, Ray, the thing about West Ham is a lot of people are going to listen to the hype around Liverpool at the minute. Going back to last season and the signings we've made. And I think you're going to get, you know, like last season you had teams on the pot. You were beaten before they even played City. And they were nearly taking their 2-0 and walking away. I think you're going to get a little bit of that with Liverpool this season if we get off to a good start. If he approaches this game with trying to be defensive with all these new players in it and it goes a little bit awry, I think he could fall apart quickly for West Ham. But I agree, I think they score, but I think we could. If we get this right, this could be a common thing for fives all over the place. I reckon we'll have 18 goals by the time the international break comes along.
Jesus. In the first four games, yeah, 18 goals.
Yeah.
Big shouts.
Yeah.
Come back to that.
I'll name all the scorers on Twitter after this.
You put the scoring charts up.
Yeah, I'll probably be an assist.
One thing I will say just on the game, I don't give a bollocks how we play. I have to say, first game is always, notoriously sticky. I just want us to get a win, get the game under our belts, get a bit more minutes on the pitch. So if we scuff one in and it's 1-0, I'll take that. The performance comes secondary to me. It's just important to get off to a good start. And because I think some of our rivals have got tricky games, haven't they? I think United are away at Leicester. That could be a bit of a banana skin. So get the points on the board and worry about the performances later.
Yeah, there is one of the game that I actually wanted to just get your predictions on, and that's the Arsenal Man City. What's your thoughts on that, Gav?
I have it down as a draw.
Okay.
I do have it down as a draw. I think City are outstanding. I just think with the players that are coming back, some of them have the charity shield under their belt and a week's training. I just think Arsenal will have that. You know, a little bit of a zip with them, you know, with the new manager and stuff.
New manager, yeah.
And the crowd actually being up for it instead of just going there to fucking watch planes fly over their fucking heads with Wenger out written on it. I think they might get a little bit of a bounce from that. And the opening day of the season is obviously sticky, as Jamie said. So you never know. Could balance it out a little bit. I go for a draw on that one.
Yeah, Andy, any chance City lose and we don't see this incredible unbeaten run to start the season, which, let's face it, gave them a massive platform last season?
No, I think looking at them there against Chelsea, which was only their kind of wasn't their strongest 11 by any means, they took up from where they left off. Real impressive, you know, all over the pitch. I can't see Arsenal coping with them. I think Arsenal are going to have a fairly poor season, and like, I think City will take them apart.
And Jamie, any chance?
No, mate. City all day. I think they're a cut above, and I think Arsenal are actually the perfect team to play them, because there's no way that Arsenal are going to sit off. They're going to try and come at them, and I think it could be a comfortable win for City.
I'm going to disagree, you know, because I think this whole theme of sticky starts and strange opening days, I've just got a funny feeling that Arsenal beat them 3-2 in a crackerjack of a game. So, look, personally, I can't see City mirroring that start. And for us, I think that's almost our best opportunity, isn't it, to get off to a decent start. We got four very winnable games. And if we can get to that international break with 10, even 12 points, you know, why can't we be the pace setters? Gav, just on that, do you think we can be the pace setters?
Momentum is a huge thing in football. A lot of people say it's not. I think it is. I think we do momentum better than anyone else. If you get to the international break, say 10, 12 points, and you can get over that and not have any injuries coming back. I always said, if we can get to the weekend of the third round of the FA Cup and go into the next league game within 4 to 5 points at the top of the league, I'd put a hell of a lot of money on us winning the league, because I think if we get going, we're just unbelievable when we get going. We really are. Can we be pace setters? I hope so. win the first 22, and then we'll have a chat about it. That's the way I look at it.
So, look, my last question for you, Gav, is given that we're going to be Liverpool celebrating, you know, a 5-2 win, back four normally goes out. What's the plan?
I don't know. We're trying to walk around Grizz's pretend halal habits. I don't know if he is halal while he's travelling, because I've seen him get on, I've heard of him getting onto open top buses just so he could have a kebab during Ramadan. So that could go anyway. I don't know what the plan is. I know myself, Nilo and Paddy are sharing a double bed on Friday night before we leave. So making it to the airport on Saturday morning will be an accomplishment, you know. So, Paddy wants us to walk from Temple Bar with a bottle of vodka each at about 11 o'clock Friday night. So, listen, if this, it's only fucking Tuesday. Anything can happen between now and Friday night / Saturday morning.
Look, it's like Christmas, isn't it? It's like Christmas coming now for most of us Liverpool fans. Start of the season, all the optimism is there. I think this season is probably as optimistic as we've been for a long, long time. So if we do disappoint, I guess the fall will be pretty massive and a bit gutting in this season. But look, I guess we're on the cusp of a roller coaster of a season ahead. If everything goes to plan, this time next week there'll have been a podcast from a new venue. Andy's got his doubts about that, but I guess we'll see what happens over the next week or so. So look, stay tuned. Whatever happens, or not, new destination for the Tuesday Club or not. Look, there'll be stuff out to keep you entertained over the coming weeks. As the Reds get off. So look, it's been Ray, it's been Gav, it's been Andy, it's been Jamie. We'll speak to you next week. Cheers, lads.